I'm reminded that in Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24, familiar psalm, that says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." I think that describes our story here in Joshua chapter 7 and 8 that we've been going over. Last week, we looked at the victories that we looked, or I should say the lessons we learned from the defeats, and we need to learn from our defeats, and we need to learn from our victories. And we realize that this came from a victory, really. The whole thing, the whole story of Ai came from a victory of Jericho, but not following God's will, and then seeking God's will for the next step in their life. We're going to see that even at the end this evening, how there's another step. You would think this would be the step, but this is where Joshua takes them possibly to another place because of God's direction in his life. And I trust that we realize that our steps are ordered by the Lord. And though we fall, we're not going to be utterly cast down. The children of Israel weren't utterly cast down. God was there wanting to teach them. He told Joshua, "Get up. Get up. You just haven't done things right. We're gonna see this victory. If you do what I tell you to do, we'll have the victory." And so this evening, as we look at Joshua chapter 8, let's, again, as we did last week, let's read the whole story so we're familiar with the story in Joshua chapter 8. And it really tells the story as we go, as if someone would be narrating it. And so let's just do that this evening, and then we'll look at some of these truths that the handout that I've given you that we will see here this evening. And the Bible then says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with you, and arise and go up to Ai. I have given unto thine hand the king of Ai and the people and his city and his land." It's a wonderful promise, isn't it? Then he says, "And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourself. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it." So Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 men of valor and sent them away by night. He commanded them, saying, "Behold, you shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be all ready. And I, and all the people that are with me, will approach unto the city, and it shall come to pass, when they came out against us as the first, they will flee before them, for they will come out after us. Till we have drawn them from the city, they will say, They flee before us, be at first, therefore we will flee before them. Then you shall rise up against the ambush and seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it unto your hand. And it shall be, when ye have taken the city, that you shall set the city on fire. According to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do it. See, I have commanded you." Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. And Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up, he and the elders of Israel, before the people of Ai. And all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. And he took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north of the city, and their liers on the weight on the west of the city, Joshua went that night unto the midst of the valley. And it came to pass, when the king of Ai saw it, and they hasted and rose up early, and of the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, he and all his people, at a time appointed, before the plain. But he wist not that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. And they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel. And they left the city open and pursued after Israel. And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it unto thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place. And they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand. And they entered into the city and took it and hasted and set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw and behold the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven. And they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. And when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. And the other issued out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side, some on that side. And they smote them so that they let none of them remain or escape. And the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness where they chased them, and when they were all fallen into the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so it was that all that fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. For Joshua drew not that hand back. Only the cattle and the spoil of the city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according unto the word of the Lord, which he commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai and made it a heap over for them, even a desolation unto this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide, and as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it in the entering of the gate of the city and raise thereon great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. Then Joshua built an altar upon the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man hath left up an iron, any iron. And they offered, therefore, burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side of the ark and on that side before the priests of the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as a stranger, as he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterwards he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There is not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read, not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. So we see the story there at Ai and the victory. So what do we learn from the victory at Ai? What do we learn after the victory of Ai? As we look, and it says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee. Arise and go up and see. I have given unto thy hand the king of Ai. First of all, I think what we see is that, number one, lost ground in Christian living is hard to recover or regain. They had lost some ground, didn't they? Because of their false following and not following God's direction a couple ways. First of all, Achan, which represented the whole nation. Not only that, they didn't seek God's face. They just figured, well, we only know victory, so God's just going to be with us this way, and so we're just going to go right into it without knowing, is this what God would have for us? In fact, we'll learn a little bit later as we've already read here, some other truths that if they just would have been patient. So we see that we lose ground in Christian living, that losing ground in is hard to recover or regain. We can regain it. We'll see that. We've seen that all across. God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, and he's a loving, kind God. Number two, discouragement over the past and fear of the future are two reactions that often accompany failure. So the answer to our discouragement and fear is hearing and believing God's word. Notice Joshua there, the Lord says to him, "Fear not, be not dismayed. Take thy people to war, and thou shalt go to Ai." And he says, "I've commanded it, and you obey me, you do it." That's God's word. He had fear. He had to go to Joshua and said, "Listen, I know I'm telling you to go up, but remember this. The last time you went up, you didn't ask me and I didn't direct you. You were taking for granted things." In essence, they were taking it granted or an advantage of the goodness of God. And they didn't realize what had happened. Even though many of them didn't know what Achan had done, but he represented that. And so we always need to stay close to the Lord. But we've got to realize that there's going to be discouragements that are in the past, and there is going to be a fear of the future. There are two reactions, and that's a sure formula for failure. So we answer to our discouragement and fear by hearing and believing in God's word. Hindsight's 20/20, isn't it? That's why we so need to be trusting in God's word. We need to be in God's word. We need to learn that there are going to be discouragements, and that's going to can bring fear to us of the future. Discouragements of the past, mistakes. Do I see anyone in here this evening that has not made a mistake in the past or been discouraged in the past? You could be discouraged in the present. But as you put your faith and trust in hearing of God's word, have you ever tried, I don't know about you, but I haven't tried to do this, but I think my subconscious and my old flesh part of me has done this. I'm going to show that God's word isn't. I'm feeling pretty discouraged and down right now, but I'm going to go in God's word, which I know I should, and we're going to see all about this. And I do, and guess what happens? Every single time, God convicts me of life, and no longer is there discouragement there that way. Maybe the circumstances haven't left, but my thought and my mindset is completely different because trusting in God's word is the third aspect that we might learn from their victory. When fears beset us, turn to the word of God and calm the fears. Turn to the word of God. I've told you this before. There was one time that someone called me there were some things that just happened. And then they had to go to something else that was going to be a high-stress situation. So on their way from that one place to the other, the person was really in distress and in turmoil. I said, "Well, will you do this for me? Well, on your way there, first of all, put good, solid, soothing Christian music on your radio or in your CD or whatever we're going to say it is today, in your car. And as you're going over there, what I want you to do is recite scripture, all that you might know, recite scripture, and talk to the Lord and sing." Person said, "Okay." And the person called me later, said, "Thank you." Well, it wasn't me. That's just what God's word tells us to do. God's word is a comfort. There was a fear of the past, the frustrations of the past and the present that were going on, and then the future of this meeting that they were going to have and situation. It says, "I was so calm when I went into that meeting, so calm, and it seems like just everything left, and we had a wonderful meeting there." You know, when your mind, my mind, is saturated with God's word, the fear of the past, or I should say the discouragements of the past and the fear of the future or the fear of anything, they seem to dissipate because we're turning to God. And do you believe God can calm your fears? Boy, there's some tight stuff that could happen to us in our lives. He can calm our fears. My mother was a wonderful example of one that we watched her in so much pain all the time. You wouldn't even know she was in pain. But you know what we'd see her over there? She'd be either quoting scripture, and I will never forget the nights that we would hear my mom praying. She's upstairs, and we could hear her. She's just praying. And then sometimes we'd come in, she'd be singing. What does that do? Well, she learned for many years that calmness comes through the Word of God. And she was one that was very susceptible to fears and was very receptive. And she knew, though, that it's God's Word. And there were some times that she would say things, we'd come in together and we would talk. And we can learn from discouragement, but we can learn from those victories. For instance, isn't that a victory when your discouragements, your emotions are calmed according to the Word of God? Isn't that a victory? Should you not learn from that I should do that all the time? Fourthly, it's important that we seek God's will for each undertaking so that we don't depend on past victories as we plan for the future. What was their problem? They had past victories and they just went right into it. We need to learn from that past victories, that we don't depend on past victories as we plan for the future. It might go a different way. We don't know which way it might go. But we need to make sure that we're seeking God's will for each undertaking, not our own will. Not trying, all the way like sheep have gone astray, we've returned everyone to his own way. We're trying to make life work our way, but Lord's laid on him the iniquity of us because we're trying to make it our way. And so God lays on iniquity of it for us all. Next, we see that God never discourages his people from making progress. Joshua came. We see he didn't discourage him. You're going to go. I'm sending you. You go. And we'll see the defeat of Ai. And you'll also see that no matter how badly we have failed, we can always get up and begin again. For our God is the God of new beginnings. Remember what he said in chapter 7? He said to Joshua when he was prostrate before him, what was he saying? Get up. Get up. Get going. Why did God have to tell Joshua not to fear? It was because sin produces fear. And when those fears, it's the Word of God that promotes, that removes our fear. And so we must realize that God never discourages his people from making progress because he has new beginnings. Then we see that one defeat or failure does not signal the end of a believer's usefulness for God. Now, as God's people, what do you have to say for that? Praise the Lord. Because we are going to have failures and defeats in our lives. It's not the end of your usefulness for God. Get up and do what God wants you to do. Go to his word. Get up and do it. We don't know what the Lord has. But he says, okay, a rough road came. Get up. Find out what God wants you to do. And know that you're still useful to God. You're still here, aren't you? You're useful to God. And next we see, as you see in verse 1, we must use the advantages we have in our circumstances to the fullest in the Lord's work. We see as we go through this chapter, did God use and tell Joshua to use the circumstances? What were the circumstances? Well, Ai would think that they have Israel what? beat. Yeah. They're done. They might still be there, but they're done. And so he used that to get a great victory. We see that wonderful plan. So we realize that one defeat, failure, doesn't signal the end of a believer, and we must use those advantages we have in our circumstance to the fullest of the Lord's work. In other words, be courageous. God corrects the past misconceptions and problems, and he tells them what to do, and so they use their past defeat for good because they learned from it. It's wonderful when we learn from it, and then we see God always has a plan for his people to follow, and only way for us to have victory is to obey God's instructions, for God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. Have you ever made a bad choice and you just wonder, that must not have been God's will? Really brings circumstances, doesn't it? It's the old that I learned young in my life and different ones that taught different aspects and truths. But I guess one way it was put to me was that we cannot be outside the umbrella of God's protection. When we disobey God or we go on our own way, then you're on your own that way. Instead of being under that umbrella, that protection, you don't get wet when you have that umbrella there. And so God always has a plan for his people that way. And then we see then God's promises do not exempt us from work. Notice that there is people, the people had to do something. The people had to go and do something and not just, God go beat them for us. And no, there was responsibilities and things that they had to do. You see that all. He says, notice it says, and thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho. Isn't that an encouragement? I'm going to do the same to Ai at Jericho if you just listen to me. And so they go, and they have to realize they're part of that victory. For the path of obedience and faith is always the best. You obey God. You obey God, and you use that, and believe in God, and trust in God is always, of course, always best. And then, unless the promises of God are mixed with faith, they'll accomplish nothing. In other words, those promises that God's given, you have to believe those promises are true. And unless you do that, nothing's going to happen. When the children of Israel went across the Red Sea, when the children of Israel went across Jordan, to go to Jericho, what did they have to do before they got that across Jericho, the Jordan River, before they got to Jericho? They had to what? Step in the water. And then the path was made straight for them. They had to have their faith in God, knowing this is what God has for me, and I need to do that. And then we see that we need to wait on God's time and choice. We need to wait on God's time and choice. You see, because Israel acted presumptuously in their first attack against Ai, they failed miserably. But as they followed the Spirit of the Lord and controlled those desires and decisions, they had victory. And if they just waited on God's time and choice. Think of that. If Achan would have waited, he would have had everything that he wanted at Jericho. But that wasn't the right time. He wanted to do things ahead of God. And why did he do that? Well, undoubtedly, he did not have a relationship with God. He didn't have a relationship to God to find out what God would have for him. He just wanted it himself. But we've got to realize that we need to wait on God's timing and God's choice. God has different things for all of us in our lives. And there's a time, and we need to wait on God's time and God's choice. Tough to wait sometimes, isn't it? You know, I want patience, but I want it now. It really is. We don't know what the future holds in many times. Any of us. But we need to just wait on God. Don't go ahead of God. They saw what happened under their defeat, and now they learned that lesson as they even saw their victory. Because when they waited on God's time and choice, and we'll see how important that is, they had victory. Because, you see, God is not limited to any one method of working. Look at the contrast between the victory of Ai and Jericho. Completely different, isn't it? Jericho, what did they do? They just went across the river, a certain amount of them that he took, and they marched around Jericho once every 7 days. They marched, and then they told them to holler, and the walls came tumbling down. And they went and took the and defeated Jericho. This one is completely given. In fact, it's opposite. The Lord told them to be what? Be quiet. Shh. The other one, they're marching around. You be quiet for a certain time. And then when the victory's coming, holler, blow the trumpets. But notice what this plan is. First of all, there's 30,000 soldiers compared to how many they sent the other time against the defeat. It was 3,000. But Lord wanted them 30,000. He wanted everyone involved. And he had 30,000 that he went, and he goes and he says, no, I want you to go in back and hide in this part over the city, and we're going to take 5,000. We're going to go over here with my group, and we're going to charge, and we're going to then, when they come out as before, they're going to think they've got us again on the run, just as they did before. He used that strategy, and God told them this is how they're going to do it, because this is what they're going to think. And Joshua said, okay, they went and did this, and then they had another group on the west side of them, in the middle of them, between Ai and Bethel. Because if anyone came from Bethel trying to surprise them, they had that taken care of. And so when they came, they would leave the city, as we read, and they would come and they'd defeat the city. But it was all timing. And it was very important, because when Joshua would raise the rod, they had to do it right then. Because that's the time and the opportunity that God gave them to defeat Ai. And so we see it's a complete different way. God's not limited to any one method of working. Have you seen that in your life? Have you seen that in how God's working in your life, and then how God's worked in another person's life? Let's say doing the same thing, but he works completely different. We've got to realize that God's not limited to any one method. Well, this is the way God works, and if it doesn't go this way, that's not true. God's not limited. He's going to work many ways. And whatever way that is for you or for me, that will be best. Because we'll learn the best. We'll learn more. We'll be stronger in the end. And we must then realize that slowness in obedience can keep one from victory and result in losing many opportunities for service. As we see 14 through 22, everything had to make at a specific time. Notice it says, if you read down there, remember, it said an appointed time. An appointed time. And when God gives you opportunities and God wants you to do something, obedience, you need to obey right away. If you don't, you're going to miss the door of opportunity that God's given you for service. God gives us many things, and he wants us to serve. Also, in the same passage, as you look at verses 14 and 22, you see, not being aware of your enemy will bring great problems for you in the future. They had to learn all about Ai, and they knew exactly how they would react. That's a pretty good strategy, isn't it? They knew exactly how they'd act, their enemy. That's why God's given us his word. Who is our enemy? The devil and his buddies. And the unsaved world. We know the unsaved world around us is going to only be for numero number one and against everything that God stands for, who he is, what he says, and what he does. And he gives us how he's going to attack. The strategies of Satan is to what? Deceive us. Even as we learned this morning, was it working at Laodicea? Yeah. They were deceiving themselves, thinking they were pretty good. We need to know that that's the way the devil is going to work in our lives. We need to know that our enemy and know their problems. And it will bring then help you with a victory. Do not leave yourself open for attack with the sin that so easily besets you. Now, this is one that we're really taking from Ai themselves. They left for attack because they were very what? The sin that seemed to so easily overtake them was that they were very overconfident, self-satisfied, self-assured, that they for sure had them. And so they probably thought, listen, Jericho couldn't come in. Jericho was much huger than they were. What did we say? I believe, don't sue me if I'm wrong, all right? But if I remember right in my gun, Jericho was at least 60 to 80,000, I think it was. Maybe there was more. Here in Ai, there's only 12,000 people. And they already defeated the Israelites one time with their 12,000 people. And they says, we're better than Ai. And the pride, I've done it before. We can do it again. And so they left themselves open for attack. And we've got to realize that there's many things in our lives. Lord, in fact, as we ask the Lord to show us, we don't make provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Every one of you, and I'm speaking to myself, know the sin that's easily besets us. If we don't, we need to get the one part of that would be arrogance and get the arrogance out of our lives and realize there's something that I struggle with and that I've got to realize I can't leave myself open for attack by making provision for that. There's something that might not even be a sin that so easily besets you. It might be just a sin, period, and temptation. And you let that open, watch out. Don't leave yourself open for attack. Close that door. And then we see that it was careless for the people of Ai to leave their city undefended. But such are the follies of self-confidence. When we are so self-confident that we've got it all figured out, we're undefended, and we're going to see follies. And then we see that we must never become so involved in pursuit of life, though legitimate it may be, that we neglect worship, for it must be our high priority. You see, the children of Israel quickly obeyed. They were given signals to go, and they quickly did. And they seized the opportunity for Christ. And now we see, as we look at it, they took time to worship. That was the first thing they did. We never be so involved around us with legitimate things. We neglect worship. It must be our high priority. So how many of us neglect worship? Personally and corporately because of pleasures. Did you know worship, there's a price? He says in even this passage, sacrifice is a word coinciding with worship. We must never become so involved in the pursuit of life. And as legitimate as those things may be, nothing wrong in those things. But we put them over personal and corporate worship. And we don't make that our priority. They took time to worship. We need to ask ourselves, what are we doing? You say, but I do it all the time. I can at least one time. You need to just seek God's face. As we said, know what God wants you to do. And be honest with yourself. Just be honest with yourself. Let the Spirit of God really teach you. Don't rationalize it. We must never become so involved with the things around us, we forget our main responsibility and have the priority of worship in our lives. And then we see, again, in this last passage, where right away they went, and he took them way away. In fact, instead of preparing for the next battle, what did Joshua do? He took him immediately, and they had to march quite a ways. In fact, there might have been some battles on the way. We don't know that, but they took him right away, quite a few miles, everyone, to worship. For those who want to worship without cost are those who have poor respect for God. It's called sacrifice. You see, worship of God helps sanctify the character of a person and improves our relationship with God. Notice how important and the priorities. He takes them right away. They have the victory, and they go and they worship. Again, look with me at verses, starting at verse 30. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. They had to go a ways. And he did it just as who? Look, what does it say? What does it say? As who? Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel. So Joshua is also obeying the Lord through an example of a man of God. You and I must strive to be that men or women of God. An example. Obey the word of God. And what is it? The first thing he did was the example that Moses said, you need to serve God. You need to worship God. Over which no man hath left of any iron. They offered therefore burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And this is what they did in that. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses when he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. What an example Moses was. How important that those things that Moses did with worship and with God's word were to Joshua. They were so important. He caught that from Moses. What do people catch from you? We realize that God's word must be a priority in our lives, and we really don't have to go any farther than that. We've been saying that all along, haven't we? At least for the 15 years I've been here. God's word must be a priority in our lives. And he read it to him. I was thinking of that as I was reading that tonight again. Do you realize how long the people had to stand or sit whenever it was, and they were standing, when Moses, and then when Joshua, right here, after Ai, they were tired, they were walking a certain way. I don't know what day after it might have happened, but he read all of the law to them. All of the law that he had, he read to them. I dare say tonight that you got a little... Maybe not. A little bored, though, of me reading all 35. Why are you reading all the thing? We can read it ourselves. But that's what they read all of it before. And by the way, you'll also see in Ezra and Nehemiah, you'll see what they did with the kids a lot of times is they took the kids and had a special place for the kids. Don't let anyone tell you that they didn't have other things for the different age. You'll see that the Bible says that all those that had understood, the age of understood, came and listened. And they had another place for those kids. But we see that spiritually minded believers are victorious because they allow the word of God to saturate their minds and hearts. Are you giving the Lord time to saturate your mind and heart? The one tragic event at Ai have now come to a hopeful conclusion. Joshua and the people are unaware of their vulnerability. Excuse me, people are aware of their vulnerability and the importance of staying in a right relationship with God. Do you think they learned their lesson? Yeah, they did, but then they went and did it again. And you and I are no different. God blesses us time and time again. Joshua and the people, they're aware of their own vulnerability. You and I need to be aware of that. We do. We need to be aware that, hey, I can fall just like the next person. I'm no different. And realize that because of that, it's so important that we stay in a right relationship with God. That we have that right relationship with God. So really, through this, these lessons that we learned from the victory, we can take it all down to one phrase that we mentioned last week. And that would be this. Obedience brings what? Blessing. Disobedience brings conflict. They learned their lesson. There's a lesson we can learn from their victory and their defeats. When you obey, God's going to bless. When you disobey, there's going to be conflict. And God is in control of all of it. So we need to saturate our mind with God's will and who He is. And realize that thus saith the Lord. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for how You